Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast on this December the 10th, 2025, with Brother Eric John Phelps. And I trust you're having a good day today, doing the Lord's will, seeking His face, doing that which is pleasing in His sight. The scripture for this particular message is Ephesians 5, verses 11 through 13. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, bring them to light. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so we intend here to make manifest, by way of the light of the Word of God and true history, the real rulers of the government of Israel, which are not racial Jews, Masonic Jews, but are Jesuits in control of the Vatican hierarchy, in control of the papacy, because it's the papacy that rules the world. In fact, it is the Jesuit order that rules the world, that I've proven in my book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. And that's a particular quotation I use from M.F. Cusack's great work, The Black Pope, when she says it's the Jesuits who rule the world, as well as Luigi De Santis when he wrote in his great work, Popery, Puseyism, and Jesuitism, that he says, indeed, it's the Jesuits that rule the world. And these works were written, Puseyism, Popery, Puseyism, and Jesuitism was written in the 1870s, and The Black Pope was written in the 1890s, long before the establishment of the nation of Israel, run by its government, ruling the nation of Israel or the Jewish people for the benefit of the Pope and not for the benefit of the racial Hebrew, Jewish, Israelite people living in their own land, promised to them by race with the Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 15 and later Genesis 17. So, it's their land, but who runs the government? That's the big question. And if you fall for the lie that it's the Jews that run the government of Israel, and it's the Jews, therefore, that run America, and it's the Jews of AIPAC that are telling the congressmen of what to do, if you fall for those lies, you will be participating in the creation of a massive anti-Jewish fury that will result in a political administration coming to power, being the new right, that will ultimately round up all the Jews of North America and send them to the FEMA death camps. And that includes Canada. So the decisions you make now as to who is really behind the Kennedy assassination or who is behind the assassination of Charlie Kirk, that's the big one brewing right now. Everybody's blaming the Jews. Everybody's blaming Israel. Everybody's blaming Mossad. So this is going to act as a rebuke and a rebuff to the lies and false conclusions of these papal servants like Tucker Carlson, papal servants like the black Candace Owens, converted Roman Catholic, papal servants like Nick Car, I call him Cardinal Fuentes now. He's got such coverage, he's beyond all these different broadcasts. They're not asking me on these broadcasts, but Cardinal Fuentes, he'll be on. And a quite eloquent young man, I would say, at 27. But bringing you to the wrong conclusions that the Jews, they're always Jewing, and the Jews are running everything here. That's exactly the rhetoric that the Jesuits put out before the nation of Israel, before the Masonic Jewish Labor Zionist government of Israel. This is exactly the rhetoric that was putting out in Germany in the early 1900s, throughout the 1920s, culminating in that Austrian dictator of Germany named Adolf Schicklgruber, Adolf Hitler, aided and abetted and overseen by the Jesuits, personal friend with Pius XII, who was Cardinal Eugenio Pacelli at the time, when Pacelli gave Hitler a bag of gold in Munich and said, here, go after the communists. Hitler was working for the Jesuits. And hence, Donald Trump is working for the Jesuits. And hence, Joe Biden, who put Donald Trump in power by all the outrageous things he did, all the anti-white outrageous things he did put Donald Trump in power. So, I want to go back a little bit and teach you these things that you may not be victimized and deceived in believing it's the Jews that run everything. They have not the power to run anything. And they must get their permission from the Pope to do what they're doing, those who rule the government of Israel. And if they're involved in any intelligence activity, they have to run it through the CIA. Hence, Mossad is the tail, the CIA and NSA is the head. And so, I've covered previously, and you can review this on my 24/7 World Radio in EJP Hour 2, where I kept up my past broadcasts on the Francis Cardinal Spellman being the one behind the attack on the USS Liberty. The USS Liberty was attacked by the Israeli Navy and Air Force at the behest of Lyndon Johnson and Richard Helms, heading the CIA at the time, and they're being overseen by Francis Cardinal Spellman in 1967 before Spellman died. I proved to you that Spellman was behind the attack of the USS Liberty, just like Spellman was behind the murder of JFK, our first Roman Catholic president. Just like the Archbishop of New York City was behind the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And later on today, I'll have Brother Stephen Drake on, and we're going to have a three-part broadcast going into this great detail on the assassination of Kirk and how it was absolutely done by the papacy. Whatever intelligence community they chose to use is irrelevant, whether it's Mossad or CIA or NSA, who cares? They run all the intelligence agencies. All the intelligence agencies work together, whether it's the Russian intelligence agency of SVR or the American intelligence agency of the CIA or the British intelligence agency of MI6, all these foreign agencies, all working together to carry out their designs and assassinations and projects, all to further the Pope's temporal political power, be it economic, be it religious, be it military. It's all his temporal power concentrated in the Pope of Rome as he is overseen by the Jesuit order. As this ceaseless attack on Israel, which in the minds of most people includes both the government of Israel and the Jewish people living there. When we must make that distinction that the government of Israel is a separate entity from the people of Israel. Indeed, that the government of Israel serving the Pope is separate from the Hebrew Jewish Israelitish people, having inherited the everlasting covenant of the Abrahamic covenant and their rights to the land, as I previously taught, that they're two separate entities. The government of Israel does not rule for the benefit of the people in Israel. And there are many examples of this. So the example I want to teach you of today is the example that shows you that these labor Zionists were involved in the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust of the Jews, and that there was a Holocaust. Now, can't anybody tell you that there wasn't? Probably more like 7 million, as there were thousands of pits that were dug by the Nazis and their SS overlords to kill these people and to bury them in pits as fast as they could. All the policy of the papacy, because the papacy was entertaining the Jewish question way back in the 1890s. You need to read the book, The Popes Against the Jews. Yes, indeed, it's David I. Kurtzer, The Popes Against the Jews, The Vatican's Role in the Rise of Modern Anti-Semitism. I like to use the word anti-Jewish fury because Arabs are also Semites. The Rise of Anti-Jewish Fury, published in 2001. I'm going to read to you a few excerpts from this book. We read on page 134, In one of the first of these, recent outbreaks of anti-Semitic violence in Germany were explained. The Jesuit author, you see, the Jesuits hate the Jews. There's a book called Rome Stoops to Conquer by E. Boyd Barrett, who was a Jesuit. He said the Jesuits never have anything good to say about the Jews. And the Jesuits had expelled the Jews from 1593 to 1946. Couldn't be in the Jesuit order. They hate them. Okay? So, the Jesuit author wrote that Jews were obligated by their religion to hate all non-Jews. And as a consequence, Christians, that means Roman Catholics, Christians, Roman Catholics despise them. Protestants don't. Baptists don't. Bible believers don't. We bless them and curse them not. It's the Roman Catholics and their twin sister, the Orthodox Russians and the Orthodox others, that hate the Jews. And that's where you have your greatest persecution of Jews, in Roman Catholic countries and Orthodox countries. Even more so than Muslim countries. And as a consequence, the Christians despised them. Societies had to protect themselves from the Jews, and so, he concluded, governments would be well advised to introduce exceptional laws for a race that is so exceptionally and profoundly perverse. Okay, this is in the 1890s out of Civilta Cattolica. It's a Jesuit biweekly magazine. Page 136. One of the most influential tracts behind the rise of anti-Semitism, The Talmud Jew, by the Catholic priest August Rolling, had been published in Germany earlier in the decade, quickly becoming a bestseller. The Civilta Cattolica campaign picked up on Rolling's themes, giving them a papal imprimatur, that means approval. Although the Civilta Cattolica, that's Catholic Civilization, articles, which bespeaks, by the way, of universal political power, that very title, Civilta Cattolica, articles in this period were unsigned, following the journal's collegial practice. All of the first 36 articles on the Jews were drafted by Father Giuseppe Origlia di Santo Stefano, one of the journal's founders. Origlia, born in 1823 and director of Civilta Cattolica from 1865 to 1868, was from a noble northern Italian family. His younger brother, Luigi, was one of the most influential and one of the most reactionary cardinals of Rome. He goes on and states, the Jews had always been regarded as a foreign people, quote, and never considered to have the right of their native-born or naturalized citizens, of either native-born or naturalized citizens. Unquote. As history had shown, the Jesuit wrote, quote, if this foreign Jewish race is left too free, it immediately becomes the persecutor, oppressor, tyrant, thief, and devastator of the countries where it lives, unquote. Does that sound familiar? It's the same Jesuit rhetoric of the 1860s here that we see in our country today, in America today. The lesson is clear. Special laws must be introduced to keep the Jews in their place and to protect Christian, that means Roman Catholic, society from the hostility that the Jews harbored, quote, against all human society not belonging to their race, unquote. Well, that's ridiculous because the Jews of America, many Jews of America who are scientists and others, have greatly contributed to American prosperity and sovereignty. It's the leading Jews, the Jews of power, controlled by the Archbishop of New York City, and you can find their names on the Council on Foreign Relations annual report, where all those Jews are listed. These Jews are working for the Pope. They're not the average Jews that are working hard and seeking to have some sort of a life for their families and becoming professionals, and thereby aiding us. Far from persecuting the Jews, such legislation served to prevent the Jews from persecuting the Christians, the Roman Catholics. Remember, whenever these Jews, like Mr. Kirshner here, whenever he's talking about Christians, he's talking about Roman Catholics. Because the Roman Catholics are the big persecutors of the Jews, not Protestants. Protestant doctrine, Bible-based Protestant doctrine, never calls for the persecution of the Jews. Baptist doctrine, Calvinistic Baptist doctrine, never calls for the persecution of the Jews. Ever. That's all Roman Catholic heresies and doctrines of Aquinas and all those other sinners, bringing the curse of the Abrahamic covenant on the Roman Catholic people because they decided to persecute the Jews, or upon the Russian Orthodox people because they decided to persecute the Jews, or upon the Muslims because they decided to persecute the Jews. That Abrahamic covenant for blessing and cursing, doesn't matter who does it or who doesn't do it, it's going to affect everybody because it's an everlasting, eternal covenant. I'll bless those that bless thee, I'll curse those that curse thee, and this land that I have given to you for an eternal inheritance. Genesis 15, Genesis 17. So when you try to take that land from them, why, you're going to get the judgment of God, the cursing of God upon yourself and upon your country and upon your government. And the Jesuits know it. And that's why they, in destroying this place, they definitely want this government, working for the Pope since March 9th, 1933, this military government, to persecute the Jews because Satan and his Jesuit order know that the one true God must keep his word and bring the curse of the Abrahamic covenant upon this people, this American people. If we're going to listen to the likes of Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and Nikki Fuentes, Cardinal Fuentes, I call them. Yeah. Blame Israel for everything, and then start to persecute the Jews, and here it comes. That's Alex Jones, too, and Mark Deitz. Can't leave them out. So, we read on page 139. Jesuit Origlia drew heavily on this view of the Talmudic Jew. Quote, the whole sinew of modern Judaism, that is of the anti-social, anti-humanitarian, and above all anti-Christian law, that's anti-Catholic law particularly, that the Jews now observe believing that they are obeying Mosaic law, consists essentially in that fundamental dogma according to which the Jew cannot and should not ever recognize as his fellow human being anyone other than a Jew. All others, whether Christian or non-Christian, must be considered by every good Jew observing his law as hateful enemies to be persecuted and, if possible, exterminated from the face of the earth. No. The Talmud does call for persecution of Christians, absolutely, so Bible-believing Christians that I'm concerned about. But the Talmud was written by priests in Babylon. This is not just the work of the Jews. Jews were involved, but they were aided by Roman priests in Babylon in the 6th century. And from the face of the exterminated from the face of the earth, that's a Jesuit saying. That's about just exterminating heretics and liberals from the face of the earth. And this according to the religious precept that they believe God himself gave them through the Talmud and the rabbis. The Talmud is not the word of God. These Orthodox Jews believe it's equal to the scriptures, which makes them a cult. Any religion that puts their writings on an equality with the word of God, the Old and New Testaments, is a cult. That's why Mormonism is a cult. So, we go on a little bit farther. In 1882, page 141, by 1882, Civilta Catholica was happily heralding the first eruptions of the modern anti-Semitic political movement. The newly formed group sprang from different sources and had a variety of interests, but increasingly they were viewed as part of the common international movement of like-minded people. Anti-Semitic newspapers were being founded, as were anti-Semitic political clubs and parties. Regular membership meetings were held, dues collected, and plans for anti-Semitic campaigns discussed. Although these groups differed in many respects, some were Catholic, some Protestant. Unfortunately, there were some Protestants, but they were Masonic. They were apostate. They had departed from Luther's Bible. Especially the Lutherans in Prussia, for which reason Prussia was destroyed by 1946. Other populists and leftists, others conservative but anti-clerical, they were unified in identifying the Jews with the painful dislocations of late 19th century society. So he goes on, page 142. In September 1882, the first International Anti-Semitic Congress was held in Dresden. Is it any wonder why Dresden was destroyed in 1945, a few months before the end of the war, by the British and the Americans, controlled by the Jesuit order? God using them to destroy Dresden for hosting all this anti-Jewish fury, and Dresden was once a Lutheran, Bible-believing city. With representatives present from Germany and the Austro-Hungarian Empire, in reporting on the events, Civilta Cattolica recounted that although many violent speeches had been made denouncing the Jews, the relatively moderate, quote-unquote, resolutions proposed by Reverend Adolf Stocker had been approved. Now, he was a Protestant Lutheran, apostate Lutheran. Stocker, a Protestant minister, was one of the most influential pioneers in the development of German anti-Semitism. So now we're going to blame the Protestants for this? When the Jesuits had been publishing this for 20, 30, 40 years before the Nazis came to power? That's why they blame Luther for the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust, and they had Kristallnacht on November 10th. What was it, 1939, somewhere around that? So we can blame Luther for that, and then we're going to say Luther wrote on the Jews and their lies, which is a complete and total forgery, the Vatican priests being great forgers over the centuries. So we got to blame Lutheranism for the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust, and that's what they've done in the Holocaust Memorial in Washington, D.C. They blame primarily the Lutherans. And I went and I opposed the guy that was in charge there, and I said, what about Pius XII? Oh, they weren't involved. I said, no, Pius XII was a mover, especially as Jesuits. And they asked me to leave the Jewish memorial in District of Columbia. They don't want to go there, man, because those Masonic Jewish labor Zionists that are responsible for the Holocaust museums and the Holocaust that they were a part of don't want to blame their masters, the Roman papacy, for it. Where in the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust in Yad Vashem are they going to tell you when you go through that in Jerusalem, which I was there years ago, what are they going to tell you, that the whole SS was modeled after the Jesuit order, that Heinrich Himmler considered himself as the Jesuit general and his top Nazi generals his advisors, as does the Jesuit general have advisors? They never told you that, did they? Because they don't want you to know. And they don't want you to know that the leaders of Israel are completely beholden to the Pope, to the detriment of the Jews living in their own land. But let's go farther. We read page 143. One of these men, Father Raphael Ballerini, in an article that year titled, quote, "The Jews, Why They Remain Jews," unquote, introduced his subject by covering familiar ground. The Jews, he wrote, had long ago stopped observing Mosaic law, which is true, and now followed only the execrable Talmud. Only a portion of the Jews follow the Talmud. The vast majority of Jews know nothing about the Talmud. They had rejected and murdered the Messiah, which is true, and believed that they were themselves divinely ordained to rule the world. Why, they were ordained to rule the world under their Messiah, but not apart from him. And by the way, that they will rule the world under their Messiah after there's national repentance, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, not in their unsaved, blinded state today. Quote, "The whole Jewish race is conspiring to achieve this reign over all the world's peoples," unquote. That is total nonsense. Bold-faced lies, repeated over and over again by the Jesuits and their agents, to get us to believe that lie, that we would act upon that lie, and thus bring upon ourselves the curse of the Abrahamic covenant, while never denouncing the Jewish leaders running Israel and the Jewish leaders here in America that betrayed the Jews in Europe during the World War II and refused to allow them to come here to escape the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust carried out by the Pope and his Jesuits ruling Germany and Great Britain and America and Russia, all ruled by the Jesuits, the Jews having no place to escape. And you got that wicked, sinful white paper put out by the British in, what, the 1920s, forbidding any Jews to return to their land. And they had signs out that say, no Jews wanted. Yeah, that's the British. Any wonder why the British Empire was destroyed after World War II? You want to persecute the Jews? You want to sink their ships heading over to the Promised Land? The Lord will sink you economically and sunk the British Empire and use the Jesuits to take apart, to dismantle the British Empire so that by 1970 there was no more British Empire. Destroyed by the government of that empire run by the Jesuits. Just like the government running America is destroying this people and a country today because it's run by the Jesuits. Since FDR's Proclamation 2040 of March 9th, 1933, approved and confirmed by Congress with Emergency Banking Relief Act, which is 12 United States Code 95 A and B, put to a footnote now in the Trading with the Enemy Act of 50 U.S.C. 4305 B. Yeah. So you can't find the congressional act that approved FDR as putting this country under military government. Mm-hmm. Page 145, we read. Here, modern anti-Semitism rises directly out of older church views, that's Roman Catholic church views. The Jews' emancipation is the catalyst that transforms the earlier forms into the new. Quote, with religious liberty proclaimed and citizenship conceded even to the Jews took advantage of it to become our masters. What? Not according to Jesus Christ. The Jews don't run Jerusalem. They haven't run Jerusalem since Nebuchadnezzar of 606 BC. The Jews don't run any Gentile nations. They aid and abet the Jesuits running all these Gentile nations. That's why the Jesuits make sure to put them in places of political power. That's why many of these Jews are graduates from Jesuit universities. And then the Jesuits put them in places of political power. And then the Jesuit-controlled presses. Oh, look at all these Jews in political power. And the Jesuit-controlled New Right says, look at all the Jews running everything, the press and Hollywood. The Jews don't run it. They're active conspirators in the hands of the Jesuit order to demoralize and wreck white Protestant Western civilization, which includes the ruination of the white-raced, anti-white-raced propaganda of today. Charlie Kirk was right. There's many wealthy Jews fueling the anti-white propaganda of today. Why? Because they're Masonic, working for the Jesuit papacy. The author goes on to say here, what governs is Masonry? Remember, Heinrich Himmler had a museum erected in Berlin on Freemasonry and how the Jews run Freemasonry. And they erected that in the 30s. What governs is Masonry, and this too is directed by the Jews. Oh, really? Really, according to a couple of books I have, the Jesuits have written all the high rites of Freemasonry. And includes B'nai B'rith, of which most of your Jewish leaders are members of B'nai B'rith. Like Ariel Sharon, the traitor that gave up Gaza to the Muslims. Or like Benjamin Netanyahu, the traitor that worked in conjunction with the leader of Hamas to incite the war and against the Hamas right now, which they deserve, but they're working together, folks. The high Arab leaders are Masonic, and the high Jewish leaders are Masonic. They're working together. Don't you think for one second the leaders of Saudi Arabia or Arabia, those Muslim Sunni fanatical Sunni Muslims there, the Wahhabis, don't you think for one second they're not working with the government of Israel, that Masonic government? They work together. And watch how the details fit if you go to the trouble to find the details. That's right. What shapes and reshapes public opinion is the press, and this also is in large part inspired and subsidized by the Jews. There are many Jews in the press, but Rupert Murdoch ain't no Jew. Rupert Murdoch is one of the 10 most powerful press lords in the world. You know what he is? He's a Roman Catholic. And Knight of the Equestrian Order and Knight of Malta. That's right. They're papal servants. The press is run by the Pope. So, those should do it. Well, here's another one that a Jesuit wrote. Father Rondina's article was typical. No sooner had he warned that the Jews were conspiring to enslave all Christians, then he added, quote, We do not write with any intention of sparking or fomenting any anti-Semitism in our country. Rather, we seek to sound an alarm for Italians so that they defend themselves against those who, in order to impoverish them, dominate them, and make them their slaves, interfere with their faith, corrupt their morals, and suck their blood." Unquote. So the Jesuits continue with this propaganda no matter where they are, and when the time is right, they promote it. And this is exactly what they're doing here in America now. Page 148. In 1898, the Vatican Daily noted, not without satisfaction, a turning of the tide. Quote, "Masonry and Judaism sprung up together to combat and to destroy Christianity. In the world must now together defend themselves against the Christian awakening and against the people's wrath." That is exactly what's going on in America today. Except the new right never makes the connection of Jewish Freemasonry with the Jesuits, with the papacy that controls it. So that was The Popes Against the Jews by David Kurtzer. Now, as I was thinking about all this anti-Jewish fury going on here, Lord led me to remember what I had read in Mark Lane's work, Plausible Denial. Was the CIA involved in the assassination of JFK? Remember, Mark Lane was a Jew. He came out with the first book questioning the Warren Committee, and the name of that book was called Rush to Judgment, which he was absolutely correct. So Mark Lane tells of the story here of this Rudolf Kastner. He mentions him, and then I will go to the book Perfidy, that further exposes all of this, written by a great Jewish author and playwright named Ben Hecht. So here is Mark Lane, a Jew, and I'm going to go to Ben Hecht, who's another Jew, and they're both going to finger the ruling top Masons, the Jews ruling Israel. They're going to finger them as traitors to the Jewish people in Israel. So here are two Jews telling the truth. And by the way, I would challenge Mark Levin on Fox News to review Plausible Denial by Mark Lane. Not only that the CIA was involved in the assassination of Kennedy, but also that these Jews, certain high Jews, were involved in the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust, according to Mark Lane, a Jew. And also according to Ben Hecht, a Jew. So Mark Levin, you have the responsibility to bring out these patriotic Jews, exposing the high Jewish leaders of Israel and the Jewish leaders of AIPAC and the Jewish leaders of the Jewish Committee, these other areas, these other agencies, all run by the papacy to the detriment of the Jews. Heck, I learned from Mark Levin that it was only in 1944 that the New York Times had anything to say about the death camps of the Nazis. 1944? Because the Jesuits are running the New York Times out of their archbishop out of New York City and made sure we're not going to talk about it till the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust is pretty well finished. Because these Jews at the New York Times are busy serving the Archbishop of New York. You want to see some of these Jews serving the Archbishop of New York? Just tune in to the Al Smith dinner every year. We have that evil, wicked Chucky Schumer there. The evil, wicked, but late, thank God, in hell, waiting for the great white throne judgment, Henry Killinger, as the Cypriots call him. I mean, all these top Jews are there busy serving the Archbishop. They know where they butters their bread. They know where they get paid from. They worship money, and therefore they worship the great promoters and creators of credit, which is the papacy. So, here in his book, Plausible Denial, we read on page 117. You should read Ben Hecht's Perfidy, which we're going to review a little bit. It's an important and provocative work, but since it has been out of print almost since its publication in 1961, a trip to the library might be required. I will tell you this. When I went to visit my friend, my dear Jewish friend, believer in Christ, Lenny Bloom, Nelson Thal, when I went to Toronto, he took me to a Jewish bookstore, and he said, "Eric, you got to get Ben Hecht's Perfidy." So I went to purchase it, and the lady that worked there said, "Well, you know, this particular book, when it was published in 1961, was bought out nearly in its entirety and destroyed by who? Was it the Catholic Church? Was it the Muslims? I don't think so. It was bought up and destroyed by the Anti-Defamation League. That's right. The ADL, working for the Pope, did not want perfidy in the hands of the Jewish people. So ADL bought it up. And guess who was one of the leaders of ADL in the past? Why, it was a Knight of Malta, Abraham Foxman. A papal Knight of Malta, which is easily proven. So the Jesuits were busy running the ADL to keep the truth from being told at the same time, using the ADL to create anti-Jewish fury as they are today. I'll never forget the time my dear friend, my late friend, Barry Chamish, told me that, and he's an author of many books, he's probably the foremost writer on the affairs in Israel. He said, Eric, the ADL was established to create anti-Jewish fury. That's right. And that's what it's doing right now. Remember, it bought up every copy of perfidy that it could find and destroyed it. And it's not long after that Ben Heck is going to be killed crossing the street. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we read here now in Mark Lane's book, on page 170-117, we read, you should read Ben Heck's Perfidy. It's an important and provocative work, but since it has been out of print almost since its publication, 1961, a trip to the library might be required. Heck, best known for the screenplays of such classic Hollywood films as The Front Page, wrote an opinionated nonfiction work about a lawsuit in Israel that shook the then newly formed state to its foundation. And now he writes, Michael Greenwald was an impoverished European Jew who settled in Israel and spent his meager life savings to publish self-penned articles of a decidedly dissenting political nature using an antiquated mimeograph machine. Younger readers should know that the ink-exuding device preceded the widespread use of photocopy machines. In one article, now known forever in Israeli jurisprudence as, quote, pamphlet number 51, you want to remember this, pamphlet number 51, and it was published, put out in 1952. This is a mere 7 years after the end of World War II, a mere 4 years after the establishment of the nation of Israel. He puts out this pamphlet, number 51. He stated that Dr. Rudolf Kastner, then one of Israel's most honored leaders, was a traitor who had cooperated with the Nazi leaders of Germany, including Adolf Eichmann, to deport Jews from Hungary. Greenwald was charged by the State of Israel with the high crime of having published a criminal libel. In time, he was indicted before official action could be taken against Kastner, who had embarrassed the state. The good doctor was shot to death in front of his home at 6 Emanuel Street in Tel Aviv by Zev Eckstein, who until a few months before the murder had been a paid undercover agent of the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence service, and Zev Eckstein says that he was also working for Shin Bet, which was the domestic intelligence service. Well, the assassin that killed Yitzhak Rabin was working for Shin Bet. Now we go to Ben Heck's perfidy. Perfidy. That means deception, betrayal. There are three works you must have for your library to have a complete understanding of the creation and running of the government of Israel. The first is called The Transfer Agreement by Edwin Black. You must get it. That's the first one, which limited Jews from going to their promised land so they would be rounded up and sent to the camps. So Great Britain and Hitler, the Nazi Germany, worked together for the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust. And to add insult to injury, so did Joseph Stalin, worked with Britain and Hitler to effectuate the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust. Stalin would not allow any Jews to migrate into Mother Russia, because Joseph Stalin was a good Jesuit, trained by Jesuits in Tiflis Seminary when he was getting his indoctrination to be the good communist Jesuit. You can read this in a book titled, Three Who Made a Revolution. Three Who Made a Revolution. So now we see in, that's one of the first ones. Edwin Black is the transfer agreement. The second one is The Scared and the Doomed by Schoenberger. Indeed, The Scared and the Doomed, The Jewish Establishment versus the 6 Million by M.J. Nuremberger. And this had been published in, let me see here, 1985. And the third book you want to get is Perfidy, published in 1961. The three books, The Transfer Agreement, Scared and the Doomed, and Perfidy. You have those three books, you'll know everything you need to know about the establishment of the Nation of Israel, with these Masonic Jewish labor Zionists being killers of Jews, working ultimately for the benefit of the Pope. And you get my book, Vatican Assassins, and I tie all this in to the Jesuit power ruling labor Zionism, and those rulers that rule Israel of today, they rule for the papacy. And Alex Jones will never tell you that. Neither will Candace Owens, she'll never tell you that. Neither will Mark Deitz, he'll never tell you that. Eloquent as all these people are, they'll never tell you the truth, that the government of Israel is run by the Pope. The men who put out Sacrificing Liberty, it's a great 4-DVD set. You want to get it and watch it. But these guys will never tell you that the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty was orchestrated and ordered by LBJ and his CIA head, Richard Helms, who gave the Israeli intelligence the go-ahead to attack the Liberty. While nothing's ever said of LBJ's absolute being controlled by Francis Cardinal Spellman, who put LBJ in office with the Kennedy assassination in the first place. Don't blame the Jewish people for attacking the Liberty. Blame the government of Israel working for the Pope that attacked the U.S. Liberty. Don't blame the Jewish people for the assassination of Charlie Kirk when he went against the government of Israel, but he never said it's working for the Pope. That was his oversight. If he would have known that, I believe he would have said it. But that had been the end of him and TPUSA, because TPUSA is also run by the Pope and his Jesuits, and any open denunciation of the papacy will get you out of TPUSA. So, those are the three works you need. Now, I want to read just a few portions of Perfidy to you, and then we'll be done. One more book you need to get. Shabtai Zviv, Labor Zionism and the Holocaust. And he'll show you that the labor Zionists, Barry Chamish, my dear friend, shows you that the labor Zionists worked in conjunction with the Nazis and the SS for the destruction of over 6 million Jews in Europe. Yeah. The same ones who went to be the leaders of the government of Israel participated in the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust. And hence we have Ben Hecht's Perfidy, of which I'm going to read a few pages. We read the introduction to the new edition of Perfidy. What has come to be known as the Kastner Affair was one of the most painful chapters in the history of the State of Israel. The American fascination with the recent O.J. Simpson trials pales in comparison to the degree to which the Israeli public and government were preoccupied with the progress of this 9-month trial from 1954 to 55. In the wake of the verdict of the trial, the Israeli government fell. Remember, Ben-Gurion had been prime minister from 1948, from the creation of the nation, to 1953. But the government falls, and he comes back to power as prime minister. And what will happen? He'll be prime minister for almost 10 years, from 1955 to 1963. And I'll add a little thing here that's not in any of this other stuff. In order to bring some sort of credence into the eyes of the Jewish people living in Israel, to have some more faith in their government, the Jesuits ordered the capture of Adolf Eichmann in 1960 in Buenos Aires. The book you want to read on that is titled The Man on Garibaldi Street. Describes the whole stalking of him, catching of him, tells you that they just missed catching Roman Catholic Mengele, although they don't tell you he's a Roman Catholic, but we're going to get the Lutheran Eichmann, and we're going to let the Roman Catholic Josef Mengele, the angel of death at Auschwitz, we're going to let him go. Yeah. And so when they bring back Eichmann into Jerusalem, the internet papers say, Eichmann in Jerusalem. And so the people in Israel have a faith restored in the very government that betrayed them during the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust. That's why Eichmann was sacrificed. And of course, the Jesuits will sacrifice the Lutheran. They're not going to sacrifice one of their Roman Catholic Jesuit coadjutors, Josef Mengele. So, for the conspiracy-minded, the Kastner affair has everything. The trial results were appealed, but before the appeal could be heard, Kastner was murdered. Some blame he was murdered in 1957, okay, during the appeal. He goes on, he was murdered. Some blame right-wing fanatics, and others believe that Israeli intelligence had Kastner killed for fear of what he might reveal about contacts between the Nazis and the Israeli government during the time of the Holocaust. That's right. Despite the sensational nature of the Kastner affair, it is little known history, little known today. Its painful revelations, many feel, are best forgotten. A definitive history of the episode is yet to be written. Here are the basic facts. In a pamphlet published in August 1952, Michael Greenwald, an Israeli citizen who had come to Palestine from Hungary in 1938, accused Rudolf Kastner, at the time the press spokesman for the Ministry of Commerce and Industry in Israel, of testifying on behalf of SS Lieutenant General Kurt Becker, and thus saving him from punishment for his war crimes. Greenwald further accused Kastner of collaborating with the Nazis and contributing to the death of over 400,000 Hungarian Jews during World War II, when Kastner served as a major leader of the Jewish Agency Rescue Committee in Hungary. Kastner was an intimate of high labor government officials, and the government had to decide whether to defend Kastner or fire him. In 1953, the government of Israel brought charges against Mikhail Greenwald for slandering Rudolf Kastner. The trial lasted from January until the end of September 1954. After deliberating another 9 months, Judge Benjamin Halevi found Greenwald innocent. So he's found innocent. And so therefore they seek to appeal. So Greenwald was telling the truth. Rudolf Kastner aided the high Nazis in the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust. And when Eichmann offered certain amount of Jews in exchange for money, Rudolf Kastner was a part of refusing it. The Jewish committee refused it. So here now you have your labor Zionists busy participating with the Nazis in the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust, which I cover thoroughly in my book, Vatican Assassins. Page 84. And where is Kurt Becker now? In what place of exile, under what alias, is he hiding, as his Nazi associate Eichmann hid? No exile, no alias, and no fears are Becker's. Kurt Becker, still tall and handsome, is one of the great men of the new Western Germany. He is one of its richest men. The riches are, for the most part, the loot extorted and tortured out of myriads of Jews before their slaughter. He is president of many corporations and loaded down with honors. You know why? Because he's a Knight of Malta. Kurt Becker was a Knight of Malta, and that's why Kastner protected him. He was protecting the high papal soldiers of the Third Reich. We go on. Among the many enterprises he heads up is the sale of wheat to the government of Israel. Why? Because the Pope's labor Zionists worked with the Nazis during World War II and after the war in 1961. Heck, Ben Heck's talking about this in 1961. Where is he now in 1961? He heads up the sale of wheat to the government of Israel. Becker's firm, the Cologne Handel Gesellschaft, does a fine business with Israel's government. Now listen to this. Herr Becker, a nobody before the Nazi war, rose to affluence as head of the SS Economic Department. Remember, the Jesuits run the SS. The SS was modeled after the Jesuit order, according to Heinz Hony in his great work, The Order of the Death's Head. But his wealth is no longer in gold teeth. He is associated with the great German banks that are the friends of Ben-Gurion's antique pal. Remember, at this time in 1961, Ben-Gurion is prime minister. He's prime minister from 1955 to 1963. Okay. So he's prime minister at the time of writing of this book. Friends of Ben-Gurion's antique pal, Chancellor Konrad Adenauer. Do you know who Konrad Adenauer was? He was a high knight of Malta, governing West Germany. He brought in hundreds of ex-SS men and Nazis into his government. And do you know who his brother-in-law was? John J. McCloy, head of Chase Manhattan Bank, knight of Malta, on the Warren Commission to cover up the order's assassination of Kennedy. Konrad Adenauer, his wife, and John J. McCloy's wife were sisters. They're brothers-in-law. They're both papal knights working for the benefit of the government of Israel, run for the benefit of the Pope of Rome. Papal knights that they are. So if the government of Israel wasn't benefiting the papacy, these papal knights would have never helped it, as is today. If the government of Israel is not benefiting the papacy today, all the high knights and men of power in America would not be providing food and money to the nation of Israel. I should say money. They have their own food now. Yeah. Do you see why the American Congress votes to give money to Israel? Do you see that? Because they're supporting the Pope's revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem, giving it money so it will turn around and spend it here in America to purchase weapons for their defense against the Arab Muslim savages all around them, which I am completely for. Why is it that none of the Muslim leaders recognize Israel as a nation and their right to exist? They can't do it because they won't have the continued agitation there. Agitation, 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 till the final Pope of Rome comes to power to end the agitation with Daniel 9:27, when he confirms a covenant with many for 1 week, for 7 years, and that agitation's ending. That's why Trump and nobody else will ever end the Arab-Israeli conflict. That is solely the duty and end game for the papacy with the final Pope of Rome. That's why. Ben-Gurion's antique pal, Chancellor Konrad Adenauer. You know, another one of Ben-Gurion's pals? One of his pals I showed in my book, Vatican Assassins, was none other than Kennedy, co-conspirator in the assassination, head of counterintelligence of the CIA, the man who manned the Vatican desk in CIA, and the man who manned the Israeli desk in CIA, none other than James Jesus Angleton. That no good lying spiritual bastard, cooking up the Cold War and the Soviets said we're going to have airborne nuclear war when that's impossible and doesn't exist, can't ever happen. And blaming Castro for attempted assassination of Kennedy. Just throw him off, and that's what James Jesus Angleton did. That night of Malta. You know who his right-hand man was, the deputy of counterintelligence? Raymond Rocca, another Italian Roman Catholic, Raymond Rocca. Deputy director of CIA counterintelligence. Listen, they're all working for the Pope. Intelligence agencies are all working for the Pope. And may God help us to come to that realization. You know who created Mossad in 1951? Why, it was a German BND with Reinhard Gehlen, whose brother was a powerful knight of Malta. You can find this in the book The Secret War Against the Jews by Loftus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're all working together, folks. New Right, agitators, they're all working together. Nick Fuentes, Tucker Carlson, they're all working together. Russian intelligence, American intelligence, Israeli intelligence, British intelligence, they're all working together for the Pope. Israel doesn't run anything. The government of Israel doesn't run anything. It's the tale of all nations, Deuteronomy 28. The Jews don't run Jerusalem. Jesus Christ said it in the book of Luke, chapter, 22, thereabouts. Luke 21, verse 24, and they, the Jewish people, shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The Jews don't run Jerusalem. If they don't run Jerusalem, you think they run New York City? Huh? You think they run Chicago? You think they run London? These Masonic Jews in places of power are all subject to some Gentile commanders, subject to the Pope of Rome. Jesus Christ said it. Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, yet to show himself as such, as his second coming, said, Jerusalem's going to be trodden down to the Gentiles until I come back, which will end the times of the Gentiles, and not a day before. They're the tail of all nations. Perfidy, page 92. In the late 1930s, the Germans began to test this discovery. The SS started beating up Jews in Berlin, Munich, Frankfurt, Cologne, and other towns. Then they tried killing a few hundred here and there. Their hunch was upheld. The killing of Jews openly and brutally produced no moral thunder or even noticeable objection, not from the United States. Why? Because the Jesuits are running the government in D.C. through FDR, that fornicating, damnable, asinine idiot, Freemason. Not in the United States. Great Britain, who's there? Smoking Winston Churchill, another brother Freemason. France, Russia, you got brother Stalin there, brother Freemason. I'm sure there's a Freemason running France at the time. And not even from world jewelry. The Jewish Agency, which, by the way, was led by Ben-Gurion, the Jewish Agency and World Zionists were officially silent. Look at that. Ben-Gurion is facilitating the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust in the late 1930s. They're all working together for the Pope. One more thing comes to mind. Rabbi Stephen Weiss, who was an American Reformed Jewish Orthodox rabbi, refused to encourage FDR to bring Jews to America. He was behind keeping them out. That is Stephen Weiss. My friend Barry Chambers had much to say about that sinner. So the top leading rabbis forbidding the Jews to escape Europe so they'd all be corralled there and kept there. England only took in 10,000 Jewish children. The rest can go to the camps. Goes on, page 98. The SS colonels Becker, Krumny, and Eichmann knew what was needed to make the final solution deportations possible. The final solution, first talked about by the Jesuits in the 1880s. Okay? Germans alone could not keep the doomed ones unsuspecting. A more potent drug than Nazi smiles was needed. For this, Jews were needed. Important, highly connected Jews. Authoritative Jews whose words could soothe Jewish fears and hogtie the myriad of Jewish men, women, and children for delivery to Auschwitz. Enter here an answer to the German problem, Rudolf Kastner. Yep. Bottom of page 99. And thus the SS colonels Eichmann, Becker, Krumny, Wislinski, using their 150 SS men, their 5,000 Hungarian gendarmerie, that means soldiers, plus rescuer Rudolf Kastner, start the plot that leads to Auschwitz. They're all working together, enabled and helped by labor Zionist racial Jews for the destruction of their own people. Here's another proof that the British worked in conjunction with the Nazis in the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust. Page 154. The witness Katz described how the Jews in Auschwitz were standing and watching the British bombers who bombed military targets and omitted the gas chambers in the crematoriums. Had these gas chambers been bombarded, the extermination could have been delayed and tens of thousands of souls saved, but they were not bombed. You know another thing that was done? That's the British. You know what the Americans did? You know what this Jesuits running that filthy FDR did? There was a Secretary of State named Cordell Hull. And there was one track leading to Auschwitz. That one set of tracks that brought millions of people to their death could have been bombed. But you guess what? You know what? Cordell Hull and FDR and others would not allow the bombing of the tracks to Auschwitz, which makes FDR just as much of a killer as Hitler and Churchill and Stalin. The ones who build the Auschwitz concentration camp are Russian POWs. Stalin gives Russians over to Hitler to build the camps. So Stalin is a part of the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust. And if you read the book Svetlana, his daughter will tell you that he hated the Jews. And the Molotov-Ribbentrop contract or treaty there, Nazi Germany and communist Red Russia worked together in dividing of Poland, was preparation for the building of 6 death camps in Poland. Without the partition of Poland, it wouldn't have happened. So therefore, Stalin and Hitler worked together under the Pope, under the poop of Rome. This is what the filthy Dr. Chaim Weizmann said. 1937, page 149, president of World Zionism. These are the Zionists that all these people are attacking now, and rightfully so, but they have nothing to do with Israel. They don't govern for the benefit of the Jews there. They're working for the Pope. So here's Chaim Weizmann, president of World Zionism, said of Europe 6 million Jews. In 1937, he said this, quote, "They are dust in a cruel world. They must meet their fate. Only a branch shall survive. They must accept it," unquote. Dr. Joseph Goebbels, I call Nick Fuentes the modern-day American Joseph Goebbels Fuentes. Goebbels says in 1943, seconds this Zionist attitude of Weizmann. He writes in his diary, quote, "In our Nazi attitude toward the Jews, there must be no squeamish sentimentalism, unquote. Well, Goebbels was trained by Jesuits in the Rhineland. He was a Jesuit, minister of propaganda. He's the one that lied about on the Jews and their lies. "I have an original copy of 1546 of Martin Luther's on the Jews, or 1543 of Martin Luther's on the Jews and their lies." It was a forgery. It was a fake. Didn't exist. Was only discovered, quote-unquote, in the late 1800s. All the Jew bashers of the 1800s, they would have called upon that book to read, and this is what Luther said. They didn't have it, because it didn't exist. It's another forgery of the Pope. I had to teach a class for $1,500 on this. It's worth every penny of it. And I go through the entire work on the Jews and their lies by Luther, showing he never wrote it. It wasn't his theology. It was not his style of writing. Again, page 150. All these theories come to the same thing at last. Those of the Nazis, of the socialists, of the official Zionists, and of the Arab fancying British. They come together at last to chisel one line on the tomb of the exterminated, capital E. Quote, "You were unwanted," unquote. All working together. Page 169. Perfidy. Quote, "Guilty for their deaths are first the German murderers, next the criminality of the nations who aided the murderers, actively or passively. Hungary on the one hand and England on the other. Guilty next are the other great civilized nations whose acquiescence and indifference spurred on the slaughter, like the U.S. Don't do anything. Just let them do it." Mm-hmm. So, they're all working together, which includes the Labor Zionist government of Israel at the time, the Jewish Agency, run by Ben-Gurion. Ben-Gurion, the friend of Kurt Becker. Ben-Gurion, the friend of James Jesus Angleton. And Ben-Gurion, the friend of Konrad Adenauer after the war. This sinner ought to be burned in effigy in Israel every year. The traitor that he was and is. His very memory is an act of remembering treason. So, we go on. Page 170. And why did the all-powerful government institutions leave the truth-telling to Michael Greenwald? Why did they knowingly cover up the collaboration of Kastner with the Nazis? There was only one answer. They had no choice. They had to protect Kastner for fear he would reveal all the facts known to him about another collaboration, the Jewish Agency collaboration run by Ben-Gurion, with the British, which sabotaged the rescue of Europe's Jews and contributed to their annihilation. Page 171. There you have the two sides, the ruling clique of Israel and the people of Israel. We always have to remember this. The government of Israel works for the Pope and not for the people of Israel. And these are the two sides, the government of Israel, the ruling clique of Israel, and the people of Israel. We can never combine them into the same group. We ought to be demanding that the government of Israel step down and that there be some true Jews that will step up and rule their country for the benefit of the Jewish people. That's what we ought to be demanding. That's what I say. We have those Bible-believing, born-again men of God and called Christians or Baptists or Calvinists, which I prefer. We ought to be saying, we're all for the people's right to their land, but we're not for the government of Israel, which is destroying them. John Hagee, what are you doing giving those people $3 million? They rule for the Pope. Benjamin Netanyahu's a slave of the Pope. True, he's preventing the invasion of Israel by the Arab nations, but he's not doing it for the Jews, he's doing it for the Pope, because the Pope has to have the third Hebrew temple where he's going to be worshiped as God for 3.5 years. That third Hebrew temple is not going to be built for the people of Israel, it's going to be built for the Pope, the Papa. In the U.S., we see the collaboration here, page 189. The slick and respectable Jewish organizations of the United States, the ones that are denounced by all these spokesmen now, Candace Owens, Nick Fuentes, Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, Mark Dice, all these guys. They're denouncing the government of, they're denouncing Israel, but they're not maintaining the difference. And the government of the United States, run by the Pope, facilitates giving to the government of Israel, run for the benefit of the Pope. And by the way, any true patriot is not for foreign aid for anybody. We don't believe in foreign aid for any country, ever. You want to give foreign aid? Well, you can do it out of your private fortune, but you don't have any right to tax the American people to give one penny to any nation anywhere in the world. Just the further destruction of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant middle class. Going on, the slick and respectable Jewish organization in the United States kept this ear plugged. And it talks about all these Americans that were wanting to help the Jews. And then he goes on in this paragraph, President Roosevelt's cabinet, never Mr. Roosevelt himself. FDR hated the Jews. He wanted to see as many of them killed as possible, but he wanted the government of Israel to survive. And he puts a whole bunch of Jews in his government to make it look like Jews run FDR's administration, when that's the farthest thing from the truth. FDR was overseen by Jesuit Edmund Walsh and Georgetown University, and everything the New Dealers did, no matter how many Jews they have in their administration. On page 192 to 193, we read, but in 1943, we who called out the plight of the Romanian Jews to the world were discredited by the Zionist unions, the established Zionist leadership, and their associated philanthropies as scandalmongers. Our attempt to get the Jews out of Romania before the Germans came was scotched, or not allowed to happen. The 70,000 Jews who might have been saved were herded into barns by the Germanized Romanians under General Antonescu, hosed with gasoline, ignited, and shot down when they came blazing and screaming out of their cauldrons. Was it for this the conspirators of silence had been holding their high-level meetings, fraternizing with presidents and prime ministers, and keeping intact Weizmann's pro-English policy of, quote, of an exclusive, quote-unquote, or more or less Jewless Palestine? Yeah, Judenrein. This silence, this wretched business of Jewish leaders lying about the slaughter of Europe's Jewry, trying to hide it, soft-pedal it, for what? These organizations, these philanthropists, now get this, this timorous, these fearful Jewish lodge members in Zion, they're Masons. These Jewish Freemasons are the leaders of this conspiracy against the Jewish people. They're facilitating the Holocaust. London and America. Jewish lodge members in Zion, London and America. These Zionist leaders who let their 6 million kinsmen burn, choke, hang without protest, with indifference, and even with a glint of anti-Semitic cunning in their political plannings. I sum up against them. These factotums, these policymakers, the custodians of the Jewish future in Palestine, who hung on to their jobs, who lorded over their real estate holdings in Palestine, who obeyed the British demand that no ruckus be raised about Europe's Jews being murdered, and that nothing be done to disturb the British sign, hung out over the ports of Palestine, quote, "No Jews wanted." These Zionist men and women I haul into the prisoner's dock of this book. And that's exactly what Ben Hecht did. And he so proved it. No Jews wanted. Totally showed that the whole Jewish agency was working for the purpose of Holocaust, fabricated and designed by the Jesuit papacy. With an SS that was patterned after the Jesuit order. Page 193 again. My faith says that nearly all of the 6 million Jews could have been saved, and the honor of our century saved with them, had the powerful American Jewry alone united in a campaign to save them. Now these are the descendants of these people are the same ones facilitating the woke anti-white propaganda, the Black Lives Matter propaganda. These Jewish leaders of today, these rich millionaire, billionaire Jewish leaders are the children of the Jews that sacrificed the Jews of Europe, and they are the American Jewry. Where's the mention of that, Candace? About you, Nikki? Why don't you talk about these Jews working for the Pope? You know why? Because both you fanatical papists never want to blame the Pope for that, do you? He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Kirk, he attacked the papacy, from what I understand. Brother Stephen Drake's going to talk about this in 3 broadcasts coming up. One of them is going to be tonight. How he called the Pope a heretic and questioned this legitimacy of the government of Israel. Why'd you stand down, allow all these Jews to be killed? It's just exactly what the government of Israel, with these labor Zionists for Jewish Freemasons, have done for the last nearly 100 years. Betray their own people for the benefit of the papacy, while at the same time keeping the government in power there for the final Pope of Rome, so that the Arab-Israeli conflict will never end. Page 203. Perfidies. The people of Israel managed to decipher the newspaper reports and learn that this time, it's 1961, it is the Americans whom Ben-Gurion, in 1961, obeys. If Ben-Gurion obeyed the Americans there, if he obeys Dirty Harry Truman at this time in 1951, who was the president, high levels 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason, why then, it's Donald Trump that's the master of Netanyahu. Nothing changed. The power structure has not changed. And so, this is why Donald Trump is hailed by even the Arabs of Saudi Arabia as some sort of hero. They first term he goes over, they give him the sword dance. The greatest honor they can give to some non-Muslim. They give him the sword dance. Why? Because the word's gone down. Trump is the one, our Freemason, that's going to do all those sorts of things for the benefit of the Pope. So they give him the sword dance. Mm-hmm. Well, Kastner is found, it's truthfully affirmed in his trial that he did indeed aid Lieutenant General Kurt Becker and Adolf Eichmann in the rounding up of the Jews of Hungary to send them to camps, aided by the Jewish agency with Ben-Gurion and Weizmann and others. And so he's assassinated. 1957 on St. Patrick's Day. Wow, a nice, good popish day. Because you remember, Patrick was a Baptist. He was an evangelist, but the papacy has taken him for themselves. And we're going to have St. Patrick's Day in America, which is an Irish Catholic festival, a Roman Catholic festival. And so on this Roman Catholic festival the Jesuits are going to be celebrating, why, we'll kill Kastner in Tel Aviv. Because we don't want any more information coming out of him. Why, it might lead to the papacy. It might lead to Ben-Gurion taking orders from the Pope, because if Theodore Herzl took orders from the Pope in 1904, when Theodore Herzl had an audience with the Pope, or was it Pius X? Why, it might become common knowledge that the government of Israel is run by the Pope, just like the government of America is run by the Pope. And the Jesuits from Georgetown, the real capital of the United States. Another summation on page 230 to 231. There is a touch of fantasy in this second reason, to wit, why should the Germans imagine that the Allies were concerned about saving Jews? Yeah, why? Yeah, why? Why did they do all sorts of things to drag out the war because they had more Jews to kill in the East? Have the Allies ever bombed the furnace houses and the death camps? Or the bridges leading to Auschwitz? Or allowed the Jews to find refuge in what had been given them in their own land, Palestine? But a little fantasy has so bedeviled a pack of intellects as the Germans in 1944 is to be expected. Reason three is the most obvious and the most German. Should it turn out that the Allies do not give a hoot about saving a million Jews, and that they regard the offer with contempt and derision, that in itself will be a psychological victory for the Germans? The Allies will then be on record as having had no wish to save Jews when they could, and that includes the American Jewish leaders here. They didn't want to save them. The very same leaders backing Trump, they didn't want to save them today. Their children or their grandchildren. How then will they be able to denounce Germans for killing them? Absolutely right. If the American military government was involved in that Eurasian Jewish Holocaust, how can you blame the Germans exclusively? You hypocrites. You Jewish hypocrites. With your labor Zionists. The same criminal gang working for the Pope behind the attack on the USS Liberty. And the various other assassinations they carry out around the world for the benefit of the Pope, because the CIA and the Mossad worked together. And the Mossad could not carry out these assassinations without the oversight and blessing and help of the Pope's Central Intelligence Agency, once known as the Office of Strategic Services, run by a knight of Malta named Wild Bill Donovan, the good old Irish Catholic. Let emissary Joel Brand come back to Budapest empty-handed, without ransom for a single Jewish child, and Germany will have proved its case against the Jews. Nobody likes him. Remember, Joel Brand was offered several million dollars by Eichmann in exchange for, if Eichmann could get several million dollars from Joel Brand, from the Jews, Eichmann would give over something like a million Jews. The story's in this book. And guess what? The Jews with the money wouldn't give him the money. They'll have those Hungarian Jews murdered. So they participated in it. Or more practically, we'll have established the fact that Germany's deliberate torture and murder of its 6 million defenseless and unmenacing humans, Jews, did not make it an outcast from Western civilization. Germany's case. You not only made no protest against the slaughter, you refused to negotiate for the saving of the last million unslaughtered. And those last million were to be given up in exchange for millions of dollars so that the Eichmann could get tanks and other military supplies. Nope. So, page 242 of Perfidy. Everywhere he looks with his awakened mind, he sees the humanless face of man. Everyone, Great Britain, the United States, and the leaders of world Jewry, traitors, all murderers. How can the kindly, human-loving world turn its back on the wild destruction of 6 million guiltless people? Page 243. Thus it comes to pass that though there are 6 million Jews murdered, there is no guilt. Neither German, Briton, American, nor Jew feels guilty. The author goes into the betrayal of Joel Brand by the Jewish committee, by the leading Jews of his day. And the author then states, page 251, Brand is not only the story of a Jew betrayed by other Jews. Joel Brand is the modern drama of human hope and kindly intentions finding no ear in our time. You know what other Jew was betrayed by the Jewish leaders in America and in Israel? The one who was convicted of treason? Pollard. Jonathan Pollard, He was betrayed. I covered that in one of my broadcasts you can download and listen to. They do it all the time. They betrayed Jonathan Pollard. And Pollard, he's out of prison now, and he saw this murder of the Jewish people by the Muslims out of Gaza, and he says, I'm not going to be silent anymore. I'm going to run for Knesset. I can't even speak Hebrew. Because what they did to me, they now have done to what 1,200 Jewish people killed them. And he's not going to remain silent, and he's running for Knesset. I don't know if he made anything there or not. Why? Because of the treasonous government of Israel betraying the Jewish people day in and day out, year in and year out, going back to the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust. And now it's this government of Israel being blamed for doing everything evil in this country. Israel rules the world. The government of Israel rules the world. And the government of Israel is just a peep squeak. Another mouse controlled by a gorilla sitting in the Vatican. So as I said, we have the killing Rudolf Kastner by Zev Eckstein, who in the early 2000s said he would have never done it knowing what he knows now. So we have Kastner killed in 1957. The government of Israel falls. The prime minister, David Ben-Gurion, now takes over as the new prime minister with a second term from 1955 to 1963. And it's this Ben-Gurion government working for the Pope to facilitate the deathly attack on the USS Liberty. All you guys that still live from what was done on the USS Liberty need to know the Pope did it, using the Israeli Navy and Air Force overseen by Lyndon Damnable Baines Johnson. Lyndon Bastard Johnson, with his bastard son, Stephen Brown, giving birth to his Roman Catholic concubine, Madeline Duncan Brown. You want to read about that? Get the book, Texas in the Morning, by Madeline Duncan Brown. Break your heart. LBJ used to get out of bed every night after he finished fornicating with Madeline Duncan Brown. He said, GD, I love Texas in the Morning. And that's why she named her book, Texas in the Morning. All of them working for the Pope. All terrible corruption goes back to the font of all corruption, the Vatican, and its agents in the midst of us. And its agents in the midst of us now want to blame Israel for everything. Agents like Alex Jones, Mark Deitz, the Roman Catholic Candace Owens, the Roman Catholic Steve Bannon, Council for National Policy, Roman Catholic Tucker Carlson, he's not Roman Catholic, but he ought to call himself a Roman Catholic. He's apostate Protestant. And so they're all working for the papacy to keep beating the anti-Jewish, anti-Israel drum rather than cutting to the quick and saying the government of Israel, with its criminal activities, has been doing these things under the watchful eye of the papacy running the American government to facilitate this. When are you going to blame the Pope? Brother Eric John Phelps, thank you for listening today. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, Wound of the House of My Friends. Please go to my website, vaticanassassins.org. You can download, you can get the CD there. Go to 247worldradio.com. You can order my broadcast of the last 10, 12 years or so with some other information there. I teach my private citizenship class, my advanced class, and my tax class. It will be very beneficial to you. I offer trust to beneficiaries. They're private, irrevocable, ecclesiastical trusts whereby you can put your property in these trusts and it is untouchable, cannot be reached by suit. And so I think there's things that you could greatly benefit from as you go to my website and seek to give a donation for these things in exchange for this property, so this trust res. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please send your gifts to RBPB Church or rbpbdonate@comcast.net. rbpbdonate@comcast.net, or you can send it to Cash App, Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S, Cash App, Cash Tag, Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, P-H-E-L-P-S, or you can send a check to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. So until the next time we meet, the Lord bless you as you do His will according to His Word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible, in the present edition of 1769 for English-speaking peoples. Till next time, Lord bless, and Brother Stephen Drake is going to be on with three broadcasts that are going to be very relevant to what I just gave today, with his discoveries and unearthing these tremendous facts that will really be a benefit to you and give us further clarity of thought and perceptions on these matters around us today. So, until next time we meet, Lord bless, Maranatha.